You would please take your Bibles or use the one that is there in the back of the pew in front of you, or turn on your phone to your Bible app, and we're going to read together in just a moment from Ephesians chapter 2. If you're going to use the pew Bible that's there, it's page 1076, right at the bottom. We'll read that in just a moment. Well, although this is a patriotic weekend, certainly patriotic Sunday with Independence Day tomorrow, we are in the midst of a series of messages that I'm trying to present to you to share with you some important things about how we need to be winning people to Christ, or at least sharing our faith with them. We are concentrating on the faith outline, so if you're new with us today, you haven't seen this yet. On the side walls, we have F-A-I. We're working toward building the word faith. Because if we were to ask someone, in your personal opinion, what does it take for a person to go to heaven or have eternal life, whatever their answer might be, we're going to hopefully be able to share with them that the Bible answers that question with one word, the word faith. And if you use your hand to spell it out, it'll be F-A-I-T-H. And we've talked about F is for forgiveness, that we cannot have heaven and eternal life without God's forgiveness, that we all have sinned and need God's forgiveness, and that forgiveness is only available in Jesus Christ. We've talked about the A, standing for available. What's available? Forgiveness is available. It's available for all, but is not automatic. There is not a single person on the face of the earth, whatever their background is, whatever they're involved in today, that cannot be saved if they would accept the forgiveness that God offers for sin. But it's not automatic. You just don't grow up in America and boom, when you turn 12 years old, you're instantly saved. There has got to be something that takes place in your heart and life for that forgiveness to transpire. Today we're going to talk about the I, F-A-I. And that I stands for the word impossible. It is impossible for you to get to heaven on your own. It is impossible for God to allow sin into heaven where it's supposed to be a perfect place. So we want to talk today about that impossibility, that it's impossible to get to heaven on your own. When I was in seventh grade, I had a teacher for language arts. Her name was Mrs. Norton. And on the hallway where her class had a whole wall of windows that looked out over the playground. I don't know, do sixth and seventh graders still have recess today? I don't know if that's possible. They don't do that. Well, back in the ancient days when I was in seventh grade, they had recess, and when I was in language arts class with Mrs. Norton, the sixth graders had their recess time. And there was a group of boys that were playing catch with the football. They would throw it in the air and somebody catch it and they would tackle them and all that kind of thing. There was one of the boys that would holler to the rest of them to throw the ball at him toward Mrs. Norton's classroom windows. And what he would do is say, "Throw it way high," and he would jump up. And just as soon as he'd catch the ball, he'd hit the windows of her classroom, fall down to his feet, turn toward the classroom through the windows, and wave his hands and make faces trying to get attention for himself. Now, he did this circus act about two or three times, and Mrs. Norton had about enough of it. So she had her plan in place, and she was teaching us, but keeping one eye on the window. Teachers get cross-eyed that ways, I guess, but she had one eye on the window, and she was watching him. And just as soon as he jumped up in the air, she lit out of the classroom, down to the hallway that led to the outside door, out the side door, and when he hit the ground, she grabbed him by the ear and yanked that boy across the yard. Brought him into the hallway, into the hallway right outside the classroom, and all the class could hear her ask him this question: "What do you think you're doing?" He said, "Well, I didn't mean to. It happened by accident." And Mrs. Norton just got quiet for a moment. She looked in his face and said, "Do you really expect me to believe that?" And the boy says, "No, Mrs. Norton, but I sure wish you would." Now, many years later, I remember that event because it pictures for me how many times in America, people in this country think that God's going to deal with sin. We say, "God, it's just an accident." And God says, "Do you really expect me to believe that?" And we say, "No, but we sure wish you would." Americans today have lost this sense that there is something that we do that violates the laws of God, and there is a price that must be paid for sin. We have lost this sense in America that there are certain things that are right, that are absolutely right, and there are certain things that are wrong according to God's standards. We have erased in America the whole idea that God has any say about it. We're just marginalizing him, pushing him to the side. Back when Some of these songs were written many decades ago. America had a sense that God was blessing us as a nation and using us as a nation. And I'm afraid that here in 2016, there are many across this country that don't want God to have anything to do with our country and would not call out to him unless there was some great catastrophe, and for a week or so we would turn back to God. It is indicative that in our nation today we have lost the sense of sinfulness and somehow that God must deal with it. So we're going to talk today about this idea that it is impossible for you to get to heaven on your own. So let me ask you to look at that verse I ask you to turn to, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start reading verse 8. We're going to read two verses. I'm not going to totally unpack them, but this is the positive thing that tells us how we do get to heaven. And it is verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. Verse 9 reminds us that we cannot get to heaven on our own because of our good works, the good things we do, some great reputation that we amass, some power or influence that might be ours. We do not get to heaven on our own good works. We only get to heaven through faith, and that faith is a gift that God gives us through Jesus Christ. Now, I know that human beings do not like being told that they cannot do certain things. It must be bred in us rather young, because in my grandson that's 2 years old, he does not like his parents or his grandparents telling him that he can't do certain things. Anybody work with a preschooler that you know that is true? Okay, so yeah, they don't like to be told they can't have that or they can't touch that or that's something they can't eat, they can't do that. And Americans, we have, as human beings, we still have that same problem. We understand there's rules and prohibitions, but we do not like impossibilities. We like to think there's no limitations to what we can do. I was out in Colorado. I met a young man who brings his daughter to our daycare that just moved here from Colorado. I was out there many years ago in Colorado Springs and went across the Royal Gorge Bridge. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but the wooden base of that bridge, there's like an inch or two between the boards, and it's only about 1,500 feet from the floor of the bridge to the floor of the ravine below. So when I walked across that bridge, I had one hand on the rail all the way across. What was amazing is that when I got on the other side, I had to get on a school bus, and they drove back across that same bridge. Almost 90 years ago, a bridge was constructed across that Royal Gorge when people said it was impossible. And it happened just in a matter of a few months, and no one lost their life. It has been 57 years ago this month, if you'll remember correctly, that men first walked on the moon. I'm going to assume that it actually took place. It's not a government plot. I think they actually did that. 47 years ago, though men doubted that it was even possible when President Kennedy suggested that it might be. In 1927, Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic solo from the United States and landed in Paris. Many people deemed that a solo flight across the Atlantic would be impossible. And someday I am confident that one of our teenagers from our church will figure out how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Doctors have limitations. They cannot do all that they'd like to do for a person's health when they are ill or have a disease. Every athlete eventually has to retire and has a last game that they play. It's impossible for people to be invisible, although we would all like to do that sometime. You cannot eat just one Lay's potato chip. It is the truth. And no matter how hard she tries, no mother can be in two places at the same time. And guess what? It is impossible for you or for me to get to heaven on our own. Now, some people around us think that because of their presumed innocence, that they really haven't done too much wrong or nothing very bad, that innocence will get them into heaven. And many think that it's automatic for everyone to go to heaven. I am amazed that still today, even in the Bible Belt of our country, that there are people that I hear at funeral services that are sure that their loved one is going to go to heaven, even though that person, before their death, as far as we know, made no commitment to Christ, did not even have anything to do with Christ, and yet their family members convinced that when we die in America, because God is so good, we will all go to heaven automatically when we die. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I like to be the bearer of good news. But the bearer of bad news is this. You will not get to heaven just because God is a gracious God and he's going to wink at our sin. It is impossible for us to get to heaven on our own. It's hard to fathom in our country because we are good people and we naturally want to do good for one another. Even people that we might disagree with because of liberal or conservative ideas, for the most part, people that we do know and we pass on the highway every day, most of them are good to a certain extent. And it's hard for us to believe that God would send a relatively good person to hell and not let them into heaven. But I have to tell you the truth of God's word, and it is this. It is impossible for us to go to heaven on our own, basically because of two reasons. One is because God is something unique, and we are something unique. God's uniqueness is this, that he is holy and loving and just in all of his ways. God's nature is completely foreign to anything that is unholy or unrighteous. It is hard for you and I to fathom that because we have been tainted by sin. It's hard to us imagine that Jesus walked on the face of this earth without sin and that there is a holy God who has not been corrupted by sin in any way, shape, or form. Everything that God does is holy. Everything that God does is pure. Everything that God does is just and right. And because he loves us, he provides a place that is called heaven in the Bible where there is no sin and the consequences of sin are not allowed. There is no grief in heaven. Won't you be glad when we get to heaven and we will not experience grief? There is no shame. Here on earth when we sin, we experience a certain amount of shame. There will be no shame in heaven. There is no guilt because of sin, no fear or dread that comes upon us because of someone else's sin and what they might do to us. That is absent from heaven. There is no darkness or anxiety that is in heaven. It is the only place where we can expect all things that trouble us to be done away with. Hallelujah, when we get to heaven. No more problems, trouble, sin, and angst. Are you happy about that? Then why don't you all want to go there quicker? That is a question that puzzles mankind. But God is just, and he cannot accept sinfulness or sinful creatures until he deals with that sin. God is perfect, and he cannot allow sin or unredeemed sinners in his presence. Because if God would allow sin into heaven in any way, shape, or form, then heaven would be no different than it is here on earth. Here on earth, we go through times of shame and guilt. Here on earth, we experience fear and dread because of other people's sin that might crop up against us. We cannot have sin in heaven, a place where God removes all sin, because he wants it to be a place different than is here. He will not allow sinners or sin into heaven unless he deals with it in some specific way. Because of who God is and his uniqueness, we cannot get to heaven on our own. And because of who we are and our uniqueness, we cannot get to heaven on our own. And our uniqueness is this, that we are sinful and marred and we are broken. Now, I know people don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that either. I wish that I were perfect so that I would deal with other people, it would always be their fault. Do you ever have that thought? I mean, if I could do everything perfectly, then anything that went wrong would be your fault. Every husband wishes for that. But God created men and women as his most prized possessions to bless us and to fellowship with us. Do not believe the lies that we hear from the science community anymore. Believe God's word. God created men and women, and he made us for fellowship with himself. We are the zenith of his creation. And God intended for us to be connected to him in a personal relationship. But mankind rebelled. Adam and Eve started it, and we inherited it. They rejected that perfect relationship with a loving, caring God. And it is part of our rebellious nature. If we were left to ourselves, born, and if we could survive on a desert island by ourselves somewhere, we would grow up with the sinful nature being the most dominant thing in our lives. Unless God intervenes and deals with us, our rebellious nature is the thing that comes to the forefront. All of us are blemished, and God cannot allow us into his presence unless he does some miraculous action to remove that sin from us. Sin is serious, and it separates from us from God, both now and for eternity. It's not only bad or wrong action. Sometimes I ask children, you know, what is sin? And if they have any sense of that, they'll say, well, it's doing something wrong, doing something bad. And I ask them to give me some ideas, and they'll say, well, I really can't think of any. I said, what are some of the things kids do in your class at school? Well, they cheat. They don't do what the teacher tells them. They talk during class. And then I will say, have you ever done that? No, 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 I don't do that. That is a human tendency, that sin, we might see it in others, but we do not see it in ourselves. And at some point, we have to face this fact that when we sin, it is not just always that we trip up, not just always that we make a mistake, not just always that we didn't mean to. There are some times when we sin, we do it as a direct act of our will in rebellion against God. And it deserves punishment, God's judgment on it. It would be so nice if I could be the pastor of a church and be able to stand up and say, whatever you've done, just try to love God and do the best you can. And in the end, he's such a loving God, he's just going to let us into heaven. Would you really want God to let those who do not trust in him, who have not asked for forgiveness, who have not sought his forgiveness, to be in heaven with us? It would not be heaven. But this is the time that we must say to them, your sin separates you from a holy God, but he gives you an opportunity to be in relationship with him. Take advantage of that today, because God wants you to be in heaven with him for eternity. But you must come on his standards, and his standards will not allow sin into heaven. His judgment on sin is severe because he is punishing sin through death or eternal separation from God. And the consequences of sin must be paid. It is true. The eye is for impossible. And it is impossible for you or for me to get to heaven on our own. Well, what is sin? There are a lot of different words in the Bible, both in the Hebrew language and the Greek, that are translated sin or sinner. Let me see if some of these will open our minds to what it really means. It's called missing the mark, like you're shooting an arrow and you don't just not get it in the bullseye, you miss the target altogether. It is an ethical wrong, something that we should do that is right and we don't. It is rebellion or transgression against God. It is a refusal to obey. It is something that we have done wrong to someone else. It's a departure from that which is right. It's a lack of belief. It's unfaithfulness. Sin is a betrayal of a trust, satisfies a desire of covetousness. It is a desire for something forbidden or lust. It's hatred. It's enmity against God. All of those words are used in the Bible to describe what sin is. But here is one that all of us probably know. In John 3:16, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him," and you fill in the blank, "should not" what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." Just that one word describes to us a lot about what sin does. Sin blocks our relationship with God. And it is so much of a block that if we do not trust in his provision through Christ, we shall perish. Now, I don't know what all that means, but perish does not sound very good to me. Does it to you? And it means for us that we would be eternally, totally separated from God. We would be apart from him here on earth and in eternity. And it denotes how serious sin is. If we do not trust in God through Christ to forgive us of our sin, we will perish without God's forgiveness. Romans 3:23, another verse most people know, says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Every one of us has sinned. I know we've been through this before, but what's the word all mean? It means everyone. You put anybody's name in there and they have sinned. There's not a person on the face of the earth that has not sinned. And let me remind you that it's not just Americans who sin, although we're thinking about our country this weekend. It is people that live in Iraq that have sinned, and people who live in Germany that have sinned, and people who live in Malaysia that have sinned. All around the world, this is something that is universal to everyone who ever takes a breath. They have sinned, and they need God's forgiveness. Otherwise, Christianity becomes just an American religion, and it is not just that. It is God's faith expression for us to say, if you will trust in Christ, you can be forgiven and have God's salvation. Now, I am lately, I guess I go through stages, maybe you do too, but lately it has really settled on my thinking and in my heart that I have to understand that a person without Christ is out of fellowship with God because of sin. I have to be reminded that it's not just, well, I accepted Christ or I committed my life to Christ. I have got my sins forgiven, and so I'm okay. That is not enough for me. We must realize that we are responsible for the people around us that do not know Christ, do not know God's forgiveness, because it can be found only in Jesus. This does not mean that I am mean to someone that is a Muslim, or I mean to someone that is a Hindu, or that I am antagonistic toward an atheist. It is that my heart is burdened for them because I understand that if the Bible teaches me, and I believe that it is true, that the only way that a person can experience forgiveness and have eternal life is through Jesus Christ. If that is true, that is not something I should keep to myself. It is something that I must share with those who do not know Christ. Do you feel that burden? That's what I'm trying to awaken in us as a congregation. Not just that we're saved and we got it all together, thank you very much, but now that we do know Christ, is there any responsibility that we bear to make sure that those who do not know Christ have a chance to respond to him in faith? That is what America must wake up to. The church in America must come to terms with. We need God's forgiveness, and it can only be found in Jesus. I know I'm in a Baptist church, but I'd appreciate it if you'd tell me that's the truth, all right? We need God's forgiveness, and it can be found only in Jesus. Is that true? And though his forgiveness is available to all, it is not automatic. I wish I could wave my hand, or sometimes in the Greek Orthodox Church we have seen on newsreels where the Russian army gathers and a priest comes out of the Greek Orthodox Church and dips a brush in the bucket and slings it across the army to kind of anoint them. I wish we could do that, to just blanket the world with some kind of forgiving water. It doesn't happen like that. It is not automatic. You must, by an act of your will, decide to trust in Christ and commit your life to him. And when we recognize the holiness of God and compare it with our sinfulness, we realize that we cannot have a right relationship with God on our own. Answer for yourself. Have you ever tried to go a certain amount of time and to live right and do right, and you find yourself after hours or days or whatever, and you mess up and you realize, I have tried my hardest, and I cannot live perfectly before a righteous God? It is the same characteristic for all of us. And in God, there is life. It is not that we come to Jesus and then, boom, we have slapped on top of us a bunch of rules. We do not know freedom. We talk about freedom in our country. You do not know freedom until you come to Christ and say, now I can live in the grace of God because I do not have to answer again for that sin. I repent of it and God forgives me and I can live in a freedom. You do not know freedom apart from Christ, because in God there's life, but sin there's death. And a person who continues to choose to sin is choosing death over life. You're not just choosing, oh, I'll go to church, or I'll try to live a good life, or I'll try to be the best citizen in my community. If you're choosing sin over life, you are choosing death over living. And what saves us, if we would choose to accept it, is that Jesus has paid the penalty for us on the cross, paid for our sin, and we can be forgiven, and we can be judged righteous in God's sight. The I is for impossible. It's impossible for you or for me to get to heaven on our own. But it becomes a possibility when we bring our sin to the Lord, lay it out before him and confess it, turn away from it, and we ask him to forgive us, and he does. Back when I was in college, I read a story that claims to be true, and I've researched it. As far as I know, it is a true story. It took place in a little rural town in Florida. There was a lady that made her way to the hospital. The doctors examined her, and the doctors told her she had no hope to recover, that she would soon be passing away. What really made it sad was that just a few days before that, her husband, too, had died. And what made it even sadder is that when the doctors told her, you don't have much time, we think you should ask all of your family to come near, she only had two family members that she knew of, her two sons. They were staying at home by themselves, just a little bit outside of town. And so she decided to send them a note. She got some paper from one of the attending nurses and wrote the note. And then she stopped and prayed and gave the nurse that note and said, "Would you get this to my sons?" And the nurse took the opportunity, probably shouldn't have, but did. And she read that note and it changed her heart. The note said this: "Son, clean yourself up, get your brother, and come to me quickly. But hurry, hurry, hurry." And years ago, I heard a pastor use that very same story to remind us, which I want to remind you today, that that is indicative of the church in America. The Lord is telling us, Christians, you've got to get yourselves cleaned up by getting right with God and taking seriously the commandment that we must share the gospel, to take seriously that we are responsible for our brothers and sisters who do not know Christ. Clean yourself up and then get your brother or get your sister, get someone who does not know Christ and bring them, but hurry, hurry, hurry. And I don't know if we're in the last year that we'll ever have in America. It looks like Back to the Future movie is going to come true. Looks like Chicago at least might go to the World Series, and they'll probably flub at the end. But let's hope the best, Jim, that they'll win. And Back to the Future said that Donald Trump would be the president in that same year. Lord help us. Either way. But let's just take seriously this. America does not know how much longer God's hand will be upon us. And the way that we are rebuking him out of every institution in our culture, how long should we expect God to stay with us? At some point, Christians in America are going to have to take seriously this charge. It is our responsibility for those who have committed their life to Christ and been forgiven to then try to bring as many with us who will go to heaven with us. And the only way they can go is not on their own. That's impossible. But through belief in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and committing their life to live for him. The challenge for us is, will we take up the mantle and be the generation that continues to seek to win our nation to Christ before we no longer have the opportunity to do so? That is our prayer and that is our hope. Get yourselves cleaned up, get your brother, and bring him to me, but hurry, hurry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, I want to confess to you that sometimes I lose that drive. I lose that sense of urgency. But I pray, Father, during this time when we are concentrating on the teachings of your word, that you will stir up that urgency within us to not just be satisfied that we have had our sins forgiven and we are seeking to live for Christ, committing to him, but that we are responsible to try graciously to bring anyone who will go with us into faith relationship with Christ. Lord, we know, we are committed, we believe the Bible is true, that it is only Jesus who will bring the change that our world needs. From the wars that happen across the seas to the explosions of terrorism that we have been reading in capital cities around our globe this week, to the danger and treachery that may be existing in our own nation, Lord Jesus, the answer is that Jesus comes in the lives of people's hearts and changes them. Help us to be on mission for that. In Jesus' name we pray.